This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Sherry Comier is a trained psychologist and certified bereavement specialist who has counseled patients on how to heal, yet she was wholly unprepared for the shock of her own grief. Despite the wrenching experience of her husband's cancer and her rapid-fire losses of her mother, father, sister, even beloved dog, she was left reeling and stunned by a sharp, unendurable grief. Yet she wanted to thrive. She sought to escape the throes of despair and find a way to move on without forgetting those she had lost. Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief, is her story. A psychologist's guide to navigating heartbreak, filled with tools and hope based on her own remarkable insights during a decade of healing. She's our guest on This Week in America.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us This Week in America. When we lose someone, everything changes. The experience is a milestone that can bring everything to a standstill for a time. To move forward, we need the tools that help guide us ahead, lend support through our ups and downs. The only guarantee in life is that it doesn't go on forever. For those left behind after a loved one dies, the loss can be overwhelming. But our guest on today's This Week in America says we never get over it, and we shouldn't. Psychologist, grief expert, and widow Sherry Comier explains why no one should expect a grieving person to get over it and move on. She offers the 8 most effective tools for healing, and she knows firsthand that they work. She writes about her own experience with loss and combines it with proven strategies for overcoming the pain of grief in her book, Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. Dr. Comier is a psychologist, consultant, public speaker, formerly on the faculty at the University of Tennessee and West Virginia University, the author of Counseling Strategies and Interventions for Professional Helpers, co-author of Interviewing and Change Strategies for Helpers, co-written, co-produced more than 50 training videos for Cengage Learning, and her new book, Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief, Dr. Sherry Comier, with us on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
I'm really delighted to be here, Rick. Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. A very important topic, and what is unique about your perspective is you actually went through the grieving process, just like so many of us do. Talk about this, because you endured a whole series of profound losses in rapid succession. Talk about how you survived that and how now you're able to take the message, what you learned, and share with the rest of us.
Right. Well, about, actually, almost 11 years ago, this coming Monday, my beloved husband, who'd never been sick a day in his life, died fairly suddenly after a terminal cancer diagnosis. And he ended up dying 3 months after my father died. So within a span of 3 months, I lost the two most really important men in my life, Rick. And then it's just sort of been a cascade of losses in the last decade. My mother died several years after that. My maybe the insulting, but I had rescued a dog after my husband died. She died a few years after that.
Oh, wow.
And then 2 years ago, my only sibling and sister died. So it's almost as if I got hit with loss, you know, all at once. I think sometimes that's the way it happens, though, that people can go for a certain amount of time without any significant losses,
yes,
and then it's boom, boom, boom. And I was in a unique position, you're right, because I am a psychologist and I had worked with a lot of other people with loss. It was very humbling, though, because when it happened to me, I found out that I really didn't know as much about loss as I thought it did.
Yes.
When it happens to you, it's really a kind of a different ball game.
It's a whole different perspective. And in the book is so helpful. And I mentioned you give us tools to help us overcome the pain and of heartbreaking loss that we all will go through from time to time. Let's talk about number one, which is willingness. Talk about the importance, flexibility, the role that plays.
Right. Well, you know, the reason that I mention willingness is we all get, and maybe another word for it is adjusting or readjusting.
Yes.
I think we all have a story about how our life is going to turn out. And 9 times out of 10, the way the story ends isn't quite the way that we have imagined it.
Yes.
You know, like we're in the middle of a government shutdown. I'm sure a lot of these people never thought when they took a job with the federal government that they'd be going to a food bank or might not be able to pay their rent or mortgage. You know, certainly if your spouse dies or you have a child die or you lose a house to a wildfire or a tornado, you know, you just, your story is different. So the willingness really means that we have to be flexible enough to say, you know what, I need to rewrite my story and I have to let go of my plan and be willing to adjust to a new plan and to a new ending and to really maybe to life a little bit differently than I thought it was going to turn out.
Yes. You talk about grief being a very heavy emotion, and
yes,
we need to take breaks from grief, and that's sometimes very difficult to do. You mentioned play is something that's very important. You need something to lift your energy, lighten mm-hmm. your mood. Talk about, because that sounds good, but it's got to be difficult. There's almost, isn't there a guilt feeling when you're lightening the mood and you feel you should be still in the grieving process?
Well, everyone asked me that. That's a great question. You know, the first thing I want to say is if we've lost a loved one, they actually don't want us to be sitting around feeling terrible.
Yes.
That's the first
yes.
thing I can say, is they're delighted that maybe we've taken a little bit of a break and done something to lighten our feeling and our mood. But my point is that really grief is so, it is such a heavy emotion that we can't spend, we need to process our grief and we need to digest our losses, but we can't spend 100% of our time and energy doing that. We have to sort of balance processing the loss and feeling the grief while we are also doing, you know, other kinds of things that can help us find pleasure again. And so watching something funny on TV or going to a funny movie or listening to someone tell a joke or going out and doing something fun with a friend. Those are all good things to kind of help balance our loss. And so keeping those two things in balance is very important as we heal from grief.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program today is Dr. Sherry Cormier. She is the author of Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. Giving us 8 tips, the book is such an important guide and so much to talk about. We've got so little time on the program today, but let's go to inspiration. You talk about the importance to be inspired again. Talk about that role that plays in getting us through this process.
Right. Well, again, thank you so much, Rick. You know, I think inspiration is important. I actually waited to write Sweet Sorrow. I did not want to write a book in the immediate aftermath of loss because the books that are usually written that way tend to be sort of heavy and dark.
Yes.
I wanted to write a book that was informative and yet also inspiring because I think one of the paths of healing from loss, because it is, you know, there is a lot of sorrow. It is a very sad time, but one of the paths of healing is finding inspiration, wherever that may be for you. Now, I find personally some inspiration in nature, although as you and I were talking before, I'm not sure it's in winter.
Yeah, exactly. There's 3-4 months where...
It might not be in winter.
Yeah, from December to February, that doesn't apply for most people.
Yeah,
yes.
December to February may not be the most inspiring months. So then we have to look for inspiration elsewhere. You know, some people find inspiration in religion or in church. Some people do it in meditation. Some people do it in some kind of a social group or a book. They may find inspiration in a book, you know, or through reading or things like that. So poetry, you know, Mary Oliver just died. I've been rereading her poetry.
Yes.
She has a great poem that I find so inspirational for people who've had loss. It's very short. It's called The Uses of Sorrow. And she says very simply, "Someone I once loved gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this too was a gift."
Well, you talk in the book, and that's important, and leads to another tip, which is blessings. And you say that loss is a wound from which blessings arise. Talk about that aspect of it, because this is, I think, crucial to understanding.
Right. Well, you know, none of us really want to have a loss, and yet loss is universal. You know, sooner or later, we will all have some kind of a loss, even if it's not a loss of a person. We may lose a job, we may lose a house. Some of us just simply lose a dream that we had hoped for that never materialized.
Yes.
So we're all confronted with loss. We don't really want it. And yet, time and time again, if you really talk with people who are loss survivors, what they will tell you is, something unexpected came down the pike from that loss that turned out over time to be a blessing. And it's really, as Mary Oliver's poem suggests, that loss is like a box full of darkness. And when it happens to you, all you see is the darkness. All you feel is the darkness. And yet over time, you will be able to find the gift in that. And I think, you know, one of the ways that we really work ourselves out of horrific loss is to stay connected to what we still have and to feel grateful for what we have. And so, yes, I've had many losses, it's true. Many people have many losses. It doesn't really make me unique. But I always try to stay connected to what I still have in my life that I feel very blessed about and very grateful for. And I write down 3 things every night that happen during the day. Like, you know, tonight I'm going to write down, I had this great conversation with Rick today
on the
radio.
Thank you.
You know, and then I'm going to write down, it rained and then the sun came out and there was a rainbow, which is actually happening right now as we speak.
Well, see, things, there are blessings in life, but sometimes we go through lives preoccupied with what's going on and not paying a whole lot of attention to the positives that you see that that are confronting you every day. A couple minutes left in the program, going way too quickly, but something that when we are dealing with someone, a friend, an acquaintance who's going through the grieving process, you never quite know what to say. And you say you should never say to a person that's grieving, "I know how you feel." Talk about that, because that's almost the first thing that naturally, as you're trying to find something to say, that comes out of your mouth.
Right. Well, we, I think our intentions are good.
Yes.
And yet I think we really, honestly, we feel awkward around sad people and people
yes.
who are grieving, and we don't know what to say. And so we end up saying these things that sort of feel offensive, like, "I know how you feel." Well, we really don't. You know, even if we've had a lot of loss ourselves, I don't know exactly how someone else is feeling. And we all feel differently. And God, this is God's plan. That's very offensive to most loss survivors.
Yes.
So I just recommend that you say what's in your heart. And sometimes that just means you might say, "I'm really sorry that your Uncle Joe died. I know he was very dear to you. Oh, you'll really miss him. And I know there's nothing I can say to take the pain away. I'm happy to help you any way that I can."
Interesting. And the book we're talking about is Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. The author is Dr. Sherry Cormier, our guest on the program. Book's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. You can link on directly to information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to discuss the visitation dreams. And you stayed connected, felt connected with your husband. That connection continued after his death. Talk about that and how to harness that and the power of visitation dreams.
Right. That's a great question, Rick. About 50% of us who lose someone really precious to us get messages from the person after they've transitioned. And I was in that 50%. And I got many I have had many visitation dreams in which I will just get awakened in the night by the presence of my beloved husband, and his face will be in front of me. And I'll tell you real quickly, one of the most profound visitation dreams I had from him, 2 years after he transitioned, he woke me up and I looked at him and I said, "Honey, what is it like to die?" And he said very simply, "Just wait. It's genius."
Interesting.
Just wait, it's genius. And you know, after that dream, all of my fear about dying myself really dissipated, because I felt as if he was saying, there's so much to dying that we don't know about, that remains a mystery, and yet it's nothing really to be afraid of. It's sort of like being born. You know, we don't know before we're born what it's going to be like
to be born.
It's a mystery, and yet we're born and we survive. And I think the same is true with death. It's a mystery, and yet in the dreams that I've had from him and the messages, what I get is that there really is this wonderful sort of process that happens, quote unquote, on the other side. There's another new book that's come out that I didn't write, but it's a great book by a fellow named Mark Gober called The End of Upside Down Thinking. And he details so many of these visitation experiences and things, you know, sort of the transfer. So I was very comforted by the visitation dreams. Most people are. And if you've lost someone precious and you want to have a dream, my recommendation is to keep a notepad and a pen on your nightstand and actually invite the dreams in and say, you know, "I'd really like to get these dreams. Come talk to me."
Yes.
And then when you get a dream, wake up and write it down, because by the morning you may have forgotten it if you don't.
It's such an important book, Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. The author, our guest on the program, Dr. Sherry Cormier, and that's C-O-R-M-I-E-R. Book is available wherever books are sold. Of course, at Amazon, you can link on directly to the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Certainly wish we had more time, so much more to talk about. The book is basically a survival guide, a roadmap for grief sufferers. Dr. Cormier, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and I wish your listeners all the best on their own journeys. Thank you again.
And thank you. The book, once again, Sweet Sorrow, Finding Enduring Wholeness After Loss and Grief. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. Operators are standing by. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Do you love watching sports? Well, how would you like to be able to take your favorite sports with you and watch them anywhere? In your house, on your computer, even on your smartphone for one low price. With National Programming Service, you can. That's right, for one low price, so low we can't publish it, you can take your favorite sports anywhere, anytime with you. And we even give you free installation and free premium movie channels. Don't wait. Call National Programming Service right now. You could be up and running and watching your favorite sports and shows in just a few hours. Remember, call in the next 10 minutes and ask about our special radio offer and learn about free installation. Call right now.
800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. 800-425-8166. That's 800-425-8166.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Hard to believe it was 16 years ago when world-renowned cardiologist Dr. Arthur Eggleston introduced us to the South Beach Diet, a revolutionary, high-protein, low-sugar, low-carb approach to dieting. Quickly, it spread across the world, recognized as one of the healthiest ways of eating, and the South Beach Diet principles have stood the test of time. His book, The South Beach Diet, the first of his 12 best-selling books, becoming some of the biggest blockbusters in weight loss world with more than 23 million copies in print. He's internationally recognized pioneer in cardiac disease prevention and healthy eating-related topics. And now, The South Beach Diet introduces a new South Beach Diet keto-friendly program. And to discuss with us on This Week in America, Dr. Arthur Eggleston. Doctor, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
You know, we hear so many people talking about the keto diet, including A-list celebrities, about going on the diet as a way to meet their weight loss goals. Exactly what are the principles of keto?
Yeah, well, what's happened in the country is, since the national recommendations of high carb, low fat, we've increased our sugar and our starch intake, the bad carbohydrates. They get stuffed in our liver, in our muscle. They turn to fat, and they increase our insulin levels, which actually locks the fat into our muscles, into our liver, into our bellies. Almost half of the U.S. has fat in their liver, a fatty liver, which is the main cause of liver failure. With the ketosis approach, you decrease your intake of the sugar and all the starches, the bad carbohydrates, and you lower your insulin levels, which unlocks the fat in our bellies, in our liver, in our muscle, releases the fat, and we burn fat instead of sugar, primarily. And when we burn the fat, it gets broken down into ketone bodies. The ketones are great for our brains. Love ketones. Our muscle loves ketones. And ultimately, when we get what's called keto adapted, we feel much better. We have more energy. We think better. Our joints feel better, and we're healthier. And you, and if you stay on that, you can sustain the weight loss, and that's why it's so popular.
Talk about the keto-friendly program option that's available now with the South Beach Diet. How exactly does that work? How do you incorporate that?
Well, the first phase, you know, we developed the South Beach Diet back in the late 90s, and there was a battle then between low-fat and low-carb. There was a lot of new information that there are good fats, bad fats, good carbs, bad fat, bad carbs. We said we have the good fats, good carbs, healthy sources of protein. Those principles have not changed. But our phase one was only a couple of weeks, and people would move on to adding fruit and whole grains. And we found a lot of people are addicted to sugar. And as soon as they started with a fruit, they would bring back cravings, and they would yo-yo. So now we're sustaining the first phase of the diet for months, literally until you really lose that belly fat and you're feeling great. And then you can add some blueberries, some whole grains to the degree that you want. But for many people, you can stay on phase one forever, which is actually what I'm doing now. I was addicted to sugar. When I went to phase two, too often I yo-yoed back.
Okay.
And it's recent studies that made me realize I had that addiction, and so many of my patients did also.
All this information, by the way, at southbeachdiet.com. You'll find all of the information there that we're talking about on the program today. I want to mention now the program that has allowed so many people to lose so much weight and maintain a healthy lifestyle. That's still available. This is just an option, correct?
Yes. Well, it's the first phase is really the same. There are some other changes over the years, but the main thing is that we're recommending that you stay on the first phase of the diet. One reason we're recommending that is that addiction idea that we know how many of us are literally addicted to sugar, and it takes longer to really cut that addiction.
South Beach Diet launching a new keto-friendly program. All of the information available at their website, southbeachdiet.com. With us on the program, Dr. Arthur Agatston. Doctor, thank you so much for being back with us on the program. Again, all the information at the website, southbeachdiet.com.
Make sure you like This Week in America on Facebook, and also you can follow This Week in America on Twitter at TWIA Radio.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton, and join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.